Greetings, cultivators worldwide. Jordan River here, back with more GrowCast, feeding the microbiome of your grow mind. Today we have a brand new guest, Harry Rose, an old school, very knowledgeable grower who's doing a lot of big things in the cannabis world. I know you're going to love this episode with Harry as we transition from Nug Mash in May right into cannabis history June. Before we get into it with Harry, though, gotta give my love to AC Infinity, one of my favorite partners, acinfinity.com, code GROWCAST15. What do you find at AC Infinity? Just about everything you need to get growing, and their products are the best. They have their own engineers, and they manufacture the most sturdy, reliable products in the game. The best tents, I stand by this, the best grow tents in the game are AC Infinity tents. Code GROWCAST15 saves you 15% site-wide. The best inline fans in the game, AC Infinity fans. The S series has a 10-speed fan controller. It's cheaper. It's super, super nice. The Light series is even more affordable. And then there's the nice T series with the controller that mounts right outside of your tent, lets you control your climate and humidity. We love AC Infinity. They also make lights and pots and scissors and ratchets and so much more. The best in the game, GrowCast stands behind them. Find everything at acinfinity.com, code GrowCast15 for 15% off. And always send us a screenshot of you using our code so you can be entered to win free seeds each and every month. That's acinfinity.com, code GrowCast15. Get your tents, get your lights, get your fans, everything you need. Some of my favorite grow gear in the game, AC Infinity, everyone. All right, let's get into it with Harry Rose. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in again today. Before we get started, as always, I urge you to share the show. Tell a friend about GrowCast. Turn someone on to growing. You know I love to hear those stories. And of course, check out the Order of Cultivation, our little secret society of growers at growcastpodcast.com/membership. Today, I am super excited to be on the line with a brand new guest, a perfect transition from Nug Mashing May into historical June. We do have these themed months now. We have on the line from Rosette Lab Works, and actually a lot more than just that, we have Harry Rose. How's it going, Harry? Good to have you.
How are you today?
Doing good. Thank you for joining the show. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me and my audience here.
Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure, sir. I would love to, for the audience, kind of get a background of your personal story, you know, your relationship with medicinal cannabis, how it propelled you into the industry, and the creation of Rosette Wellness and Rosette Lab Works.
Well, I've been growing cannabis since I'm young. I got pretty into it and passionate about it at a fairly young age. I think I was naturally attracted to it, which I later found out because of the disease that I ended up coming down with. People tend to naturally gravitate towards it that have certain dispositions, I've come to find. So started cultivating really early, around 15, and went to Amsterdam very early to get seeds. And started cultivating, you know, right away, pretty untypical of most people that were around me. Most people just purchased what they could get from their local person and consumed it. But I immediately, you know, was into cultivating it. I was really into cultivating all kinds of plants, including food, from a young age. I grew up in upstate New York, and that was what a lot of people did. A lot of my neighbors also had, you know, small produce gardens and so on. So since an early age, I loved growing tomatoes and peppers and things like that. Oh, so it really was fairly natural to want to grow cannabis once I got interested in cannabis. And fast forward a little bit, I ended up becoming somebody heavily involved in the entertainment industry. And did a lot of rock and roll touring as a master electrician and a lighting designer. And I did backline, you know, setting up instruments and so on for a lot of people, small and large. And that led me into doing it commercially, so to speak, where we did do some, you know, TV work and TV commercials, but it was mostly industrials. We called it product launches, like all the Apple products with Steve Jobs and all the Google products down in the Silicon Valley, and
whoa,
Microsoft Xbox launch. I mean, Windows XP and a lot of the early stuff when things were hot in Silicon Valley. I was a master electrician at a local 16 in San Francisco and traveled the world, you know, with the likes of people like Steve Jobs and Bill Gates and so on, following them around doing the product launches. And that's, it was really, you know, rewarding in some senses, but I definitely overdid it and worked too many hours and ended up getting extremely sick. There's a number of reasons for that, but, you know, the main instigator was working heavily and traveling and not taking proper care of myself and having the right wrong disposition to do something like that. Mm-hmm. And I ended up getting extremely sick and had to stop actually doing that type of work. And, you know, there's a lot to it, but the long and short of it is we had been out here when things went from black market to the 215 world, which in California meant medical cannabis. Dennis Perone and his team got it passed in the mid 90s. And, you know, any opportunity we had, we would try to contribute to that. I was always interested in that and reading into that. And that led really into me trying to help myself with it once I came down with several versions of autoimmune diseases that debilitated me and took me away from my normal job as a master electrician in the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. And the long and short of that is it literally wiped me out. My wife and I moved to Humboldt County right around the time when my first child was born. Oh. And so it was intense and definitely challenging in a number of reasons. It's hard to really know what you're going to go through, you know, when something like that starts and then you go through it and you realize how it is and how intense it is. But I tried all the traditional Western remedies for IBD. I had severe IBD, Crohn's colitis, and COPD, touches of rheumatoid arthritis, which is pretty horrendous when coupled with these other diseases.
Wow.
And that led me to doing alternative medicine because there is no real cure for that kind of thing or real treatments. It just, they give you things that do make you sicker. Sometimes it just blocks the feeling of being sicker, but ultimately you're going to pass away if you don't do something about it. And so I was in the fight for my life in Humboldt County. And again, there's a lot to the story, but I was fortunate enough and just happened to be in the right place at the right time in certain senses. I was living in Humboldt County off grid in southern Humboldt, in the same subdivision as a guy named Lawrence Ringo. And Lawrence Ringo is pretty much the godfather of modern day CBD. And he's definitely the reason why there is a CBD revolution and why people have turned to hemp and have totally exploited, you know, CBD. He discovered that he was sitting on a treasure trove of high quality, very rich in CBD strains from the past. Wow. And because we had testing, finally, he was able to discover this. He was looking for the most potent THC strain, but in doing that, going through his catalog, he found all these medicinal strains. And we were fortunate enough to be working with some of the people who quantified the original test results in the United States to open the first labs in the United States. And this was prior to that, but they were helping us figure out strain selection while they were quantifying their machines and algorithms and so on. And so it was kind of a really good marriage. We got to pick their brains about, you know, chemistry and biology and human biology and botany and so on to try to figure out how some of these cannabinoids work, how they work with the body. They definitely gave us a lot of resources. And so, you know, that led to Lawrence isolating the original Sour Tsunami, which was a very potent 3-to-1 strain. And that's the strain that actually ended up putting my autoimmune into reverse and stabilized things and got me into a state where I could actually get back to health again. You know, that's where it all began. He then was on a quest to stabilize more and more CBD strains. And those strains ended up getting sold at things like the original High Times Cup in San Bernardino, where the Stanley brothers bought the genetics that turned into the original Charlotte's Web, which is now hemp-based, is my understanding. It's almost like a GMO hemp now, whereas before it was two Lawrence's strains crossed. Wow. That was the original strain that helped Charlotte Fig. And so on and so on. So basically, that strain, that seed plant from the original Sour Tsunami is what I made the oil out of that actually put my disease to bed for the time being.
Wow. That's incredible.
And all of a sudden, people started coming to us from all over the world because they saw what happened. And so we started making more and more oil. Lawrence started breeding like crazy to stabilize the first 20 to 1, the first 1 to 1, the first 3 to 1, and so on. And we started helping patients from all over the world. Lawrence ended up passing away of lung cancer. He didn't end up taking his own medication. It was kind of sad. By the time he found out, it was kind of too late. He was a tough guy, and he struggled through his disease without even realizing that he was sick. You know, if he caught it sooner, maybe there could have been a different outcome. I'm not sure, but
right.
It was incredibly sad when that happened. But by that point, there was a lot of momentum. He had already given the genetics out all over the world, and you're seeing it in everybody's genetics right now. Ringo's Gift is something that his kids actually made tribute to him after his passing out of his genetics. But the original strain, Sour Tsunami, Harley Sue, Canna Sue, Swiss Sue, things like that, all were the original CBD strains that he created that people then spun off of that. He stabilized the original ACDC and got it out there too.
Wow.
So
that's some good CBD history right there, man. That's exactly what we're looking for this upcoming month.
Yeah. Really
incredible, man. All that going down in Southern Humboldt. I lived on the edge of Myrtletown myself from 2010 to 2015. I've got a special place in my heart for that part of the world. And so many unsung heroes, just legends of, you know, Mendocino and Soham and Garberville, that I would love to get as much of that on this show as I can to keep those stories and those legends alive. Because like you said, there's so much history, so much rich history, and so much inspiration that people draw from. You know what I mean?
I think everybody needs to keep context. Even though it was 215, concentrates are looked at the same as things like heroin.
Right.
And so it was you had to be very careful. Even though we were taking care of patients, we were patients ourselves.
So whack.
We primarily gave away, hundreds of pounds of medicine extracts to critically ill patients. Everybody was really worried and did not want to be famous or anything. Ringo intentionally held back and made sure that nobody knew where Charlotte's Web came from, really, because I'm still mad about it a little bit, to be honest with you, that he hasn't gotten the real credit that he deserves for, the contribution and the genetics that he just kind of launched out there, and people have taken the ball and run with hard. But it's kind of frustrating in that sense. But we were all just trying to protect the access to the patients by not getting discovered. And so that's really, so that's why there's going to be a lot of unsung heroes, because of that, because of the time when a lot of this happened. And, Lawrence passed in 2012, I believe it was, off the top of my head. And that was still fairly sketchy from a law enforcement standpoint, living in Southern Humboldt in the hills. It was like war out there every summer with the helicopters and the caravans and the announcements over the radio that they were coming, and you had no idea where, when, who, why. So, it's pretty sad, but that's kind of why the history is sort of blurry and lost.
Yeah, that's exactly right, man. I love hearing this insight, though, from an OG such as yourself. And I mean that in the most flattering light. I would love to dive in more to the strains of that time, and what was going on. You said, you know, when testing hits the market, suddenly you're bringing quantifiable science to these decades old masters of breeding, right? Can you just talk a little bit more about those classic strains, the CBD ones or the THC ones, what you remember and some of that history that these younger growers would love to hear?
Well, you know, with Lawrence, he was literally playing around with a lot of different strains. And again, mostly trying to amplify the THC content without actually testing. And it was just a matter of literally smoking it and going by what it looked like and so on as to what was good or bad or high THC or not. That's all we had back then. And what's really interesting is, you know, things like there was a strain called the Cheezel. There was a couple people that did it. It was the UK cheese crossed with the sour diesel from up here. And it depended on which sour diesel you were using as to the results of that. His was extremely potent and flavorful. And it was known to be extremely, you know, a very hard hitter. Then when we first got it tested, we found out it was only 13% Delta 9 THC. And so that was kind of the beginning of, THC value doesn't really mean that much because 100%. There's other things at play here.
It's so true, man. And you were discovering that even back then with the Cheezel. I remember the Cheezel. Shout out to the Cheezel. So can you get your hands on that? Or if you see something now, is it just not the same as it was back then because of time and terroir and viroids and just everything?
Well, we do have backups of most of these strains from the past. I don't have the exact cuts from back then, but we do have seed stock of a lot of those. Yeah, I mean the original sour diesel and the original OGs, as well as Lawrence's stuff, and even the UK cheese was an amazing strain by itself. That was something that Lawrence really liked a lot and put into a lot of his stuff, but mainly at first, it was just a matter of looking at what he had already done. He did things like took a few different versions of sour diesel from up here and crossed it together, and then crossed that to a few different versions of the New York sour diesel and called that the double diesel.
Oof.
That turned out to have some pretty interesting cannabinoids and CBD in it. You know, a lot of these strains did have CBD in it originally, and we didn't know it. The other interesting thing, talk about young growers, like there's a lot of misinformation, and there's just a lot of lack of knowledge. You know, a lot of us, I mean, none of us knew this stuff, and there's just a lot more available, a lot more information available to us now because of the legitimizing of the industry. And one of the things I can say is, all the stuff that was bred indoors is completely different than outdoors. And that's pretty obvious. But what we didn't know was really why. And when you have living soils, even not as good as we know now to do the full regenerative Jadam K&F type practices and really have these extremely rich and indigenous microorganism soils, where they were still living, they were still fully sun grown. And that makes a huge difference because the sun is the only thing that has the full spectrum of the sun. All the light inside is limited to what some engineer or what some lighting engineer or even what's available in a light bulb to visible light. So we're missing a lot of the spectrum. We're missing all the energy that comes off the sun, which people discount. And what does that mean? That means that it's mutating. And it changes to defend itself because it doesn't have the complete spectrum of the sun to take care of itself, right? The immune system starts fighting and that creates a mutation. Some people like that. Some people, it makes it more, you know, some people notice things like, it makes it have more of a grape terpene expression or something like that. But it's really messing with the immune system and the full expression of the plant. And if you take that even further and you're growing in sterile mediums like rock wool or even fresh dirt and using chemical nutrients like a lot of people do, you're not able to get the type of microorganism and fungal network communication going that's required to have the enzymatic releases for co-plantings and other organisms that are in there to actually create a very rich, robust, full spectrum. That's what I'm leading to, right?
Yes.
And so you can grow certain plants indoors in sterile medium under artificial light and only see THCA and Delta 9, potentially some converted CBN. But you take that same strain and grow it outside all year and in the ground, especially, and all of a sudden you're going to notice that there's 8, 10, 12, 15 cannabinoids. And so it's worth noting that Lawrence did his breeding outside. And so his test results came from plants that started outside. Even if they were brought inside the flower, those potentials were still there. And he always grew in dirt, always. And so that's really important to note, because if you're not breeding that way, then you're definitely limiting the potential of what can happen, the potential of the plant, and you're not really going to know really what's up. And I think that because of how he grew and how he bred, you know, I don't know whether he realized it or not, to be honest with you, because a lot of us are just coming into this knowledge in the last few years. But the fact that he was breeding outside in the sun primarily, and even his seed pops, his clones, like everything really had sun exposure, natural living soil type growth. He was able to see these expressions, and that's what really helped during the breeding and selection process to find these plants that had the potentials, and then we could take them and grow them out to their fullest potential with, you know, a really nice setting, whether it's a greenhouse or full outdoor, would still get sun and it had its full potential versus these rapid breeding cycles that he would do. So that's kind of something that's fairly interesting that not many people think about.
I can absolutely appreciate that. I am a living soil grower. Now on GrowCast, I want to be clear. I support growers of all types. I would love if everybody, you know, switched to an organic nutrient or a living soil, but I understand that it's about people getting people growing.
The Order of Cultivation GrowCast membership program is absolutely unrivaled in the cannabis space. You got to check it out. Go to growcastpodcast.com/membership. Today is a great day to join and you'll get so many benefits. The members only Discord is unlike any other community out there. Not only are the Gromies helping each other, hanging out in the voice lounge day and night, but they're also meeting up in real life. The Order of Cultivation is worldwide, and we're doing meetups and hangouts all over the place. It is the most tight-knit cannabis community you will find out there. Come and check it out. GrowCastPodcast.com/membership. Plus, you get the weekly GrowCast TV live streams. The best show in cannabis, if I do say so myself. You get the weekend AMAs where you can ask any grow questions and the whole GrowCast team answers you. And of course, you will get in on other bonus content, giveaways every single week, contests, grow-alongs, a book club coming, so much action happening inside of membership. Try it out today. Come and join up. You will not regret it. And again, never struggle with a garden problem. Mary Beth Sanchez and me and Wolfman and Rich are helping everybody out. Members are pitching in the Plant Problems channel. We are lifting each other up as growers. And if you're a positive, like-minded grower who's not going to argue about breeders or light brands, come and check us out at growcastpodcast.com/membership. I'll see you there, everybody. All right, now back to our regularly scheduled programming.
I've wondered about this regenerative organic life cycle and maybe even tying in with, you said, like the sun and the spectrum. We spoke with Jeff Lohenfels in this show about, you know, the rhizophagy cycle and how the bacteria not only moves throughout the plant, but actually into the trichome head and onto the seeds for the next generation, right? And our GrowCast seed co-breeder, Rhizo Rich, in such a rich living soil, pardon the pun, and his seeds just having such a strong germination rate and early life kind of boost, I wonder how long that lasts. I wonder how many generations, and you see it pretty quick, right? You can take the same genotype, you can take the same cut, and I've seen three different growers grow it within the same state in their different microclimates with their different nutritional deliveries, and they come out different. So part of me thinks that like it sticks with it. Obviously it does, you can see it. But then obviously it's more complex than that because it also changes very quickly in some regards. I don't know, it's just, it is very infinitely fascinating to me.
I mean, there's a lot to that, right? I mean, if you're talking about people growing in living soil outside in the sun, right? And what is their living soil? Is their living soil bag dirt that they're feeding teas? Is it real indigenous soil that's had a lot of IMOs put in from your local forest and doing IMO bombs and JMS and things like that, these mass inoculations to really grow the population?
Right.
Or is this indoor? Because if you take something that was grown in a really beautiful regen soil, indigenous with tons of IMOs and so on, and bring it inside, you're going to see a change immediately.
Right.
Immediately. If you put it into a sterile medium with a, you know, like a Gavita light bulb or an LED, especially because you're restricting both spectrums, top and bottom, immediately, you're definitely going to see a drastic change. It might not mean that it's you're going to have to throw the plant out, but it's not going to resemble really what's going on outside in full living soil and full sun. We've witnessed that in front of our eyes several times already.
I think that the sun does bring that complexity. And to be fair, indoor is so easy to control, right? And you don't have to deal with the elements. But that being said, another place where I really see sun-grown shine is in extraction. And maybe partially that's because it kind of bypasses some of that elemental wear that some outdoor growers experience. But do you notice a difference in sun-grown extract, like these live rosins that people are into, versus non-sun-grown?
In general, yes. I think that I know that there's people that grow with extreme care inside,
right,
and they do as good a job as possible to try to recreate as broad a spectrum living soil as they can. And they're mixing, you know, different light spectrums, and they're just trying to do the best that they can. And with their nutrient selection, they're able to do a pretty damn good job. But from what I see in general, and especially when it comes to the larger production stuff, what's grown inside is primarily grown to create the highest cannabinoid content on a test result and look almost unreal, you know? And so it's really about that from the commercial market, and that stuff is definitely, regardless of what it looks like or what the test results are like, that stuff is definitely not, you know, high quality, desirable hash in my mind. A lot of people harvest too early indoors because they're looking to get clear or white hash. And that's a big mistake in my mind. It's gotten to the point where there's hash out there that costs $100 a gram and it doesn't even get you, you know,
so. It's so funny. We've had so many guests on to talk about hash, and I think maybe all of them have talked about how people shop with their eyes and how you really shouldn't. I mean, at least you should know the difference. A lot of darker hash is dark because it is lower quality, but it does not mean that it's not good. Like you said, the CRC and all this stuff can be very, very tricky. And at the end of the day, it's about the flavor profile and it's about the potency and how it agrees with your biology. And you're kind of echoing those sentiments.
It's true. You can't shop with your eyes. If it's really like a dark brown, or there's, you could tell if you know what you're doing, if there's something wrong with it. But there's dark hash, if it's clean, just means that it, you know, it has specific spectrums of terpenes and flavonoids. Flavonoids are color in general. And so when you mix a bunch of colors together, you're going to end up with brown or black. And so when you amplify that and concentrate it, you know, even if the bubble hash was completely clean as a whistle and you have 99% heads before you press it, you know, those certain terpene spectrums tend to be darker unless you pull them very early. You know, like tangy is the perfect example. A fully ripe tangy, when you press it, it's always going to be darker. Even the fresh frozen, even though it dumps, even though, it's just going to be darker. And that spectrum of terpenes and flavonoids, you know, that is the formula for the darker color. There's plenty of spectrums that are extremely potent and robust and flavorful and smell really pungent. That can be a very light white or a light tan or like a goldish color. I definitely question the stuff that I see that is too white. Most of the time it is pulled too early, or it's indoor, you know. And again, indoor in general, there's people doing some good work, but in general, lacks the amount of spectrum that is really in there in most cases. There's a whole lot of people growing in rock wool and things like that, and you're just not going to get as broad of a spectrum, even if it's high potency, even if there's some terpenes that are banging in it, you're still not going to end up with the same type of spectrum. So a lot of people are breeding for color. You know, we've had a long-winded conversations in different lives about that. And I think the people that are experienced that actually make hash and grow hash themselves understand that dark hash doesn't make it bad. It's whether it's clean and properly made that is the big deal, and your preference. Yeah, you know, certainly hash has come a long way since I've started making dry sift in the 80s, but still, you know, it's always been the same thing. You know, obviously it's the old adage, quality in, quality out. And if you are looking just to, like, I started making hash because what I was getting was terrible and it barely did anything, and so concentrating it was the obvious answer, you know. But nowadays it's a whole different ball game, you know. Now you want the potency with the quality. So, and it's always been known, it's just a matter of, can you obtain quality product to actually sift, wash, or extract?
Right. And can you get the cultivars that perform well, and the ones that you're after as well, and the ones that pass the flavor through? I love how you brought up Tangy and its tendency to be dark. Would you like to talk about any other strains that you have hash experience with? Maybe your favorite one from, like, back in the day that you couldn't get anymore, or something new that blew you away, or which cultivars shine for the extraction in your mind?
It's always about selection, you know, because you can always find, not always, but a lot of times you can find ones that yield higher than others. And there's certain strains that have predominantly or exclusively stipple capitate type trichomes, which is really what you need for sifting or washing,
yeah,
to get
long stems and big fat heads.
Right. And the heads that actually break off sometimes. Yeah. They're kind of glued together and they don't want to separate. So, but when it comes to extraction, like for our medicine, we don't want just that. We're looking for, you know, very specific and very rich, robust, full spectrums. And that's something that, you know, we noticed very early on, is when you extract, you know, for our medicine, we only extract with cryoethanol, because to date, that's the only thing that we know of, and most, you know, scientists, doctors, biologists, I mean, that's pretty much what is used for any type of botanical extraction for bench or clinical studies. CO2, hydrocarbon, certainly not bubble hash. I mean, that's not really used in any of the pharmaceutical or nutraceutical type worlds, because you don't get the real full spectrum fingerprint of the plant that you're trying to get. So I did want to note that when that we're looking for it, well, it's a fact. I mean, the only real full spectrum that you can get that anybody knows of to date through testing and verification, as well as studies, is ethanol. And then when you're looking at a plant that you're going to sift or make water hash out of, I can tell you, because I've taken that and extracted it, right, that there's a lot left behind. Even if it dumped, even if it looks clean, there's still a ton of cannabinoids on it, right?
Sure.
So the way to look at it is, if you pop the heads off the stipple capitate, you have the full spectrum of what's inside that head, but you don't have the full spectrum of constituents on the plant. There's a lot of other types of trichomes. The bulbous is right against the surface. There's ones that look like hairs, all that stuff. If you do the proper job sifting or washing, you're getting rid of or not even picking up. And that stuff gets taken with ethanol when you do it properly, and all the fats, waxes, lipids get left behind with the biomass. So you're just left with the perfect, unadulterated, no bonds broken chain of cannabinoids to actually get that real entourage effect, not just a broad spectrum. It's a real full spectrum. You get the enzymes, all the metabolites, and so on that would be left behind on the plant material. So for medicine, we only use cryoethanol currently until there's another tech. You know, I'm not owned by the ethanol industry or anything. As soon as there is another tech that's better, because I've, you know, I've used Waters machines and done a lot of studies with CO2, hydrocarbon, you know, there's really no comparison, and the patients' bodies don't lie. You know, that's really what it comes down to.
I got to say, that makes you a little bit unique though. You're this Humboldt County regenerative agriculture, sun grown guy who does, the next words out of my mouth are supposed to be rosin. And you're into the ethanol extraction. I'm sure you appreciate it all, but
well, I do. I do.
Medicinal standpoint.
I do solventless. So let's be clear. I do bubble hash and dry sift. That's sure. My forte. I've been doing it since I'm a kid, and that's what we do for the adult use products that we make. Sure, patients use it, but that's what we use to support the medical side, the compassion side,
extraction.
But ethanol qualifies for regen and dem pure. It's the only solvent because it's one step from water. It's a pure substance. What we use is certified pharmaceutical food grade, but first and foremost, organic ethanol.
Wow.
And not USDA organic either. This is Oregon Tilth, you know, very strong certification.
Damn,
so
that's badass.
It is allowed in dem pure. We farm and live by those types of practices. And so it is another pure form. You know, if you step outside that and do hydrocarbon or other things, then it's not. But, you know, like I said, I do dry sift. We put that out to the public. And that's something that I've started doing again.
Nice.
And I'm really excited about that. We do a really high-end temple ball. Temple balls nowadays are water hash. But they're really not supposed to be. I mean, they didn't have bubble hash in the Angies, and the Pashtuns didn't make bubble hash. And, you know, it was all really high-end dry sift. And so we're kind of getting back to the real traditional hash there.
Classic.
And we're just using the creme. So it's melt and it comes out really nice. And we're also making live rosin from some really choice things. The rest of it, we have the ability to use in other products, and we can also use the rest of the material in extract. So we have a unique position because we'll make really high-end melt temple balls that we just take a lot of material and barely sift it, basically, and then clean that up so you get the best of the best of the best. And then it's the same for the water hash. A lot of people have to use all the microns, and some people are using that for marketing. It's full spectrum. It's better. It's a broader effect. In some cases, that is very true. But generally, what we do is we have a really elaborate bag set. We go through it. We find the best full melt microns, and that's what we're pressing. Like the one, you know, we're doing one of our strains is called the Garlic Rose. I'm really into the garlic strains. And that one, we're just using the 104U full melt, which is 104 to 109U. Our other products are 90, which is 90 to 103U, only full melt that we, you know, pressed. And we're very careful about. So, you know, we're trying to put out some pretty unique products because there's a lot of stuff out there. We're not big enough to put out super, you know, less expensive hash in masses to be able to afford to do that, to supply that demand. So we're kind of going the other way and just putting out ridiculously high-end hash for a more affordable price than some of the big boys. You know, that's our goal because they're charging a lot and maybe they need to, you know, but we're trying to make it more affordable for super high-end, you know, rosins and hash.
Patients appreciate that. Let's give you, for sure, to give you time to plug right here. Where are your products available? Where can people find you? And then I do have a couple more questions before we run out of time.
Oh, you bet. Well, certainly the best place to find us is at rosettewellness.com. You can sign up for our newsletter there. And we're going to start a direct-to-consumer delivery that'll be kind of subscription-based. So you can check those out on rosettewellness.com. And then we're on Instagram. I do lives every Thursday and Sunday where we do education on cannabinoid, cannabinoid therapy, regen farming, stuff like that. That's at 8 a.m. on Thursday mornings, Pacific time, and Sundays at 10 a.m. on Rosette Wellness. We also have some other Instagram handles, Rosette Labworks. Helpful Harry is really what they call me. That's my nickname. And we have a new product called the Wedge, which is our full spectrum extract. It's the same thing that goes into our medical tinctures, but it's actually a very special process that turns it into a water-soluble powder. It's not like anything you've seen out there because we can actually keep the acidics acidic, keep the spectrum unbroken, and so on. It's extremely bioavailable. So that's kind of, that's Lemon Wedge. It's called the Wedge Drink is the Instagram. So
what states are these products available in?
It's only available in California because these are manufactured under California cannabis license, and currently we can't ship. So currently it is just in California.
Try it next time I'm out there.
It's all made from real California, what we call drug plant. This is not made with hemp.
Yeah, that sounds great, man. I'll keep an eye out for that. That Lemon Wedge sounds cool. The Wedge sounds cool.
Yeah, and we're in dispensaries, mostly in Northern California. There's a couple in SoCal. And if you go to our website, you can look us up. And just follow our Instagram. That's really the best bet to see what's going on. We do new announcements there. And our newsletter definitely will keep you up to date if you sign up for that.
Nice. Go and check it out, everybody. Give Harry a follow. I did have a couple more questions before we wrap it up. GrowCast listeners, I've got some great news for you. We are going around the country with GrowCast Grow classes. That's right. How would you like to do limited space classes one-on-one with GrowCast guests like Queen of the Sun, Rizo Rich, and more? We've already got these ready to go and people are signing up. They're filling out rather quickly. Find everything that we're doing at growcastpodcast.com/classes. Right now we're doing a soil microbiology tour with Queen of the Sun, where we're going to be going around the country, talking to soil growers and educating them on everything microbiology. We're going to be taking a look at their soil and their inputs under a microscope, teaching you everything you know about identifying microbes, applying microbes, and maintaining a healthy and vibrant microbiome in your soil. Really incredible what's going on. See where we're at next at growcastpodcast.com/classes. And then, like I said, I'm doing a tour with Rizo Rich as well. You can look forward to breeding classes. We're going to do a make your own seeds breeding class tour, teach you guys all about how genetic traits are passed, how to select, how to breed, how to clone, how to pop seeds, how to save seeds and store seeds. These are in-depth intensives with hands-on curriculums that we just can't do over audio. We're going to blow your minds with these classes. They're affordable. We're all over the place. We're coming to a town near you. See where we're at. Come and see us. Go to growcastpodcast.com/classes. Members getting 25% off all classes across the board. I'll see you at the next one, everybody. You will not regret it. growcastpodcast.com/classes. All right, now back to our regularly scheduled programming. I did have a couple more questions before we wrap it up.
Yeah.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention a shout out to Larry, who introduced you and I. He just, by the way, listeners, he just sent me a buttload of great products to distribute to you guys as prizes. But he was, you know, talking about a story where you almost lost a strain that was very precious to you. And does this ring a bell?
It does. Yeah, Larry's a great guy. And, you know, seeing his stuff out there when he first kicked it off, it really interested me because I've always liked using sea nutrients and the values that come from the sea, the rivers, and so on. So it really interested me. I reached out to Larry, and you know, him and his team are definitely a wealth of knowledge and are very immersed into creating an incredibly clean product, more so than a lot of people, you know. He doesn't talk about bottom lines or anything like that. His bottom line is about quality and safety and trying to get the right product for the crop-specific line that he's got.
Oh, it's very kind of you.
And so really, it all started with propagation for me with the Foop product. It's called Foop, fish poop. And he set me up with
the gel.
Actually, I believe I just ordered it and then I called him and told him how great it worked. But it was the cloning gel and the spray came up with, I believe. And I had some moms that, you know, a lot of us have to just keep things chugging along. We didn't have the optimal environment back in the day. And converting over to the Prop 64 world with compliance and licensure, it was difficult, you know, to keep your moms proper through all of that. But the long and short of it is one of our most precious strains, which I now call Ringo's Rose. We were having trouble getting it to root. It was tired. It was old. It was sick. Again, we were not growing it under the optimal environment that we are now. And we tried a number of different products, you know, even ones going pretty drastic, pretty chemically, which is not typical, but I was really desperate. And so I was desperate. I saw, you know, people getting some ridiculous results from Foop in very short time. So I said, all right, I'm going to try this. I got the gel. I used the gel and the spray. And at that moment in time, you know, our propagation was less than optimal. We were having temperature and humidity issues in that room that we've corrected since. And so, you know, it seems like that stuff will almost root a 2x4, but the reality is we got it to go again. We got fresh moms off of that, and we've gotten a couple of rounds off since. And I'm kind of nervous to ever try anything else, to be honest with you. So,
oh, damn, what a ringing endorsement. I love that, man. And it makes sense, you know, having those unhealthy mothers, you're going to have trouble with the cuts for sure. And I, back to the rhizophagy cycle, I like the stuff that will boost your biology from the get-go, you know what I mean? Get that going again. But I wanted to talk to you about the strain, Ringo's Rose. So clearly this is a callback to the breeder Ringo out there in Soham. Can you tell us about Correct. That strain, why it was special, and its properties?
You bet. One of the last projects that Ringo was doing for breeding that I knew about, he was busy, you know, he was had his hands in a lot of things with a lot of people towards the end of his life. But what he was working on locally was creating as potent of a CBD strain as he could with the highest CBD value. Right? Because when CBD first started, people said, ooh, CBD rich. And it was like, you know, 0.5%, 1%, 3%. And everybody was going gaga. He came out with the Sour Tsunami, which was 15% first, you know, selection. We got it up to 18. And so he was really trying to pound it out to try to get a really good strain that would actually qualify as hemp, but still be a drug plant. So it would have the full spectrum of cannabinoids, but less than 0.03% THC, which is less than optimal, but still it could potentially help a lot of people in other states. And so that's what he was looking for. And he didn't know because he never got to test it. He ended up passing, and I ended up getting it before he passed, growing it out and testing it to find that it is now our staple and our favorite 20-to-1. And it has a very interesting spectrum. It's all the medicinal strains that we use have a beta-caryophyllene dominant spectrum.
Oh.
But what's really unique about them are there's some, you know, there's a lot of people that are just trying to classify things in five major terpene groups or six. And personally, I think that's a mistake. That's too generalized because our beta-caryophyllene strain also, a lot of them are high in myrcene, linalool. You know, they can have osamine and terpinolene in it. And so now what, you know, because they're super rich in all those, what category do you put it in? So anyway, it is just the right spectrum. We've tried a lot of different CBD strains. You know, we tried all the phenos of Canasu that we could find, as well as Canatonic and Harlequin and Harley Sue. There's a couple of Swiss hemp crosses that were crossed with drug plant that we tried. And the reality is this one was the best broad, you know, fullest spectrum for the, to give the highest efficacy to the most amount of patients. And that's really all we can do. If you look at our product line, there's 9 formulas. And the reason there's 9 formulas is because there is no silver bullet. And cannabis has really shown that. Pharmaceutical drugs tend to be like, what sex are you? What age are you? How heavy are you? Here's your drug. You know, with cannabis, we know that the different spectrums do different things for different people in different amounts.
Right.
Microdosing can have a very powerful effect, whereas taking huge amounts can have a negative effect. We've discovered a lot of these things along the way. Again, I've worked with tens of thousands of patients to figure a lot of this stuff out. But those 9 formulas represent all the major spectrums of cannabinoids and terpene and flavonoid and enzymes and metabolite sort of combinations to create the biggest, broadest effect for the most amount of people. So you can either find your formula or mix and match or use them in conjunction with each other. But this particular strain, coming back to this strain, is really the linchpin. It's in our number 20. It's in the cross for the number 1. It's our CBDA, and it's in our blends, which is the wellness and balance, which are blends of 4 different spectrums of extract. There's a CBDA full spectrum in that. There's a THCA full spectrum in that. There's a THC full spectrum in that. And there's a CBD full spectrum. Those blends are powerful. It's like throwing a brick at a window if you got problems, you know. A lot of people find they need it broken out. So that's why there's all these individual things. And again, this Ringo's Rose is the linchpin of all of our products, basically.
That's incredible, man. So that really did mean something to you, keeping that strain around. That's really dope.
Big time.
I appreciate you, again, sharing the history of these breeders that probably a lot of growers are just now hearing about. Maybe go and check out some stuff online and look up some old forums. Maybe one day we could have you back on, Harry, in the future and talk more about these old stories in Humboldt County. So much rich history up there. You know, friends of this show, some now past, coming from that region. So we have to document this. We have to get it on the airwaves and get it out onto the internet so it can live forever. You know what I mean?
Anytime. Just let me know.
Awesome, Harry. Appreciate you, man. Let's do another plug here at the end, of course. Rosette Wellness, Rosette Labs. Where can everybody find you?
RosetteWellness.com and then Instagram. You got Rosette Wellness, Rosette Lab Works. Rose Exotics is our adult use line. And Helpful Harry is my name. You're going to see a lot of stuff out there. We do a weekly education posting and newsletters. And then, of course, the Wedge Drink. You can check all those out. They're all linked to each other and they all sort of interact. And we love to see you in our lives. Feel free to send any questions or anything that you're interested in, any topics. You can just DM through the Instagram handles. I get those directly if you have any questions or topics. And of course, through rosettewellness.com, you can hit the contact me button. That goes to me as well. If you have any questions or comments or any topics that you'd like us to go over.
Awesome. Appreciate your time so much, Harry, and appreciate you listeners for tuning in as we move into our month of cannabis history and culture history here in the cultivation world. So stay tuned, everybody. That is all for today. Of course, find us at growcastpodcast.com. Get on the list at /list. Find everything up there. And that's all. This is Harry Rose and Jordan River signing off, saying have an extraordinary day, everybody. We appreciate each and every one of you. Be safe out there and grow smarter.
Thank you, everybody.
That's our show. Thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. Thank you to Harry Rose. What a wonderful first-time guest as we jump into Cannabis History June, everyone. Before we wrap it up, Growcast Seed Co., everybody. Loving Growcast Seed Co. and everything Rizo Rich is doing with his breeding projects. You can find everything we have to offer at growcastpodcast.com/seedco. That's SEEDCO.
growcastpodcast.com/seedco. Find our new Peach Quake line was absolutely incredible, that drop. I think we have a few box sets left where you get every single cross from the drop, plus a freebie, plus a limited off menu pack, plus 25% off. It was a really cool promo. I think we might still have some lying around. Check it out. Again, growcastpodcast.com/seedco. The prolific Peach Quake line. People are loving all the crosses that are coming off the Peach Quake. We've also got some strains left from our previous lines, like the GMO crosses that we have, the Moon Monster. You guys have seen that. The Creature feature. We might still have a few left in stock. Go check it out. Everything you can find. It's all fire and it's all super affordable genetics. Find it at growcastpodcast.com/seedco. Get yourself one today. You will not regret it. Again, get that Peach Quake before it's gone, everybody. And shout out to Rizo Rich, our breeder, doing all the incredible work that he does. Support him, support Growcast, and support yourself with some cheap and fire seeds at growcastpodcast.com/seedco. Okay, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. I do appreciate it. I hope you're doing incredible things in your garden. We will see you next time on Growcast Podcast. Bye-bye, everybody.